Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Kof. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Shehbar in honor of his parents, Mr. Jack and Marilyn Shehbar. Hashem alehem yichyu, amen. Today's daf is being studied by Adon Ishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden, amen. We are starting at the Mishnah on Daf Tzaditet, and we are four lines from the bottom. Ilan Shehaya Mesach Alaris. You have a tree that the leaves or the branches of the tree are hanging over to the ground. Since the branches go all the way down. If the branches of the tree are within three tefahim of the ground, then you would be allowed to actually carry under the tree. We have a picture of that in our books, that's 352. We're basically looking at a tree trunk with the leaves that go all the way down to the ground within three tefahim. The logic is, once it's within three tefahim, we employ the rule of lavud, and therefore it's considered as if it is sealed, and therefore you can walk under the tree because it becomes like it has walls. And therefore it's like a reshut a yahid, and therefore you have no problem. Comes the Mishnah's next case. Sharashav givuhim min ha'ares gimal tefahim lo yeshev alehim. One of the major principles of today's daf that we're going to discuss is the isur of using a tree on Shabbat. One of the reasons why the Hachamim didn't want you to use a tree on Shabbat, losing it in any way, is a gezerah that you might come to pull a branch off or pull a fruit off. And therefore, the discussion here is, let's say you have a root. Now, normally the roots grow underground. This root actually goes underground and then comes up. So therefore, the discussion is, if the root is within three tefahim of the ground, so then it's considered ground. It's not considered tree. Because anything within three tefahim of the ground is considered batel to the ground. So therefore you'd be allowed to use the root when it's hang something on it, sit on it, whatever. But if it's more than three tefahim high, the root that is off the ground, so then it's going to be asur. Now you want to see a picture of this root. Well, yeah, you can imagine it in 353. That's not the exact picture that we're looking, but that would be something similar, where you see the root actually just is protruding out of the ground. Okay, so you can understand that. Okay. Comes the Gemara. Amarafuna bere de Rav Yoshua. Rav Huna says the name of Rav Yoshua. When the tree has its nof, its branches and leaves that are hanging within three to five of the ground that the Mishnah said you're allowed to carry under the tree, that is only up to Bet Sataim, to that shiur, the 5,000 square amma. Why are they limiting it up to Bet Sataim? My tama, Mishum Dehave Dira Shetashmisha Le'avir. Because although we're going to consider it enclosed, but this enclosed area under the tree is not considered a dira for resident purposes. It's considered a dira, a resident, where the shomer, the watchman of the field, hangs out under the tree in order to get some shade. And his main purpose of staying under the tree is in order to watch the events that are taking place outside of the tree. So therefore he doesn't need to actually live under the tree per se. He's using the tree for shade so he can monitor the events outside the tree. So the Gemara gives us a rule. V'chol dira shetashmisha le'avir, any dwelling area that its purpose is for the airspace outside of itself, So then you could only carry up to Betzatayim. So therefore, if the area under the tree was more than Betzatayim, even though we're considering the leaves to go to the ground and it's walled, so therefore it's like a karpef that we learned Shalom Kafledira, that we said you only have up to Betzatayim and not more. So here the rule is, Dira Shetashmisha Le'avir, Rashi says, top line, Ena Ladur Ba Tamid, Ena Listofef Ba Shomrei Asadeh. First of all, it's not a permanent resident. No one's living under the tree. Just for the shomrim, to stand under there. And like I said, la'avir means to the avir that it's outside the tree. So therefore, you have the limitations up to bet satayim.
You have to have a tree that's bigger.
That's a tree. That's the case. Comes the Mishnah, the Gemara continues. Sharashav givuhim in ha'aris. Sharashav givuhim in ha'aris. You have the roots that are protruding off the ground. So the Gemara now discusses a machloket between Rava and Rav Sheshat. And what basically the Gemara is going to do, it's going to give three or four different manifestations of this machloket between Rava and Rav Sheshat. Itmar, Sharshe Ilan Habba'in Milema'la Mishlosha Letoch Shelosha. You have the roots of the tree that are coming from above three and going down within three. Now, we have some pictures here. That would be picture number 353 on the right side of the tree. Basically, you see a root that has come out of the ground. It goes up, which means above three, there's a point where it hits the peak above three, and then it curves back down into the ground. So there's a point that is below three. So basically you have three parts of that root. You have the below three, right? The above three, and then the slope down, which is again below three again on the other side of it, right? So now the discussion is, we're going to split those three parts of the root. We call it Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Alright, the part that's where the root begins under three, everybody agrees it's considered ground. It's not considered tree, and therefore there's no problem using that area on Shabbat. The point, as it slopes up above the 3 point, everybody agrees asur, because it's above three, it's considered tree, you cannot use it. The discussion is, after it peaks above three, now it slopes down to a point below three. That area of the below three is the question. Can you use it or not? Which means, is it considered tree? Because bottom line, it's... is it considered not tree? Because bottom line, it is below three. Or is there a sivarat to say, still we have to be mahmir? So the Gemara says, Shoshe ilana be'im milemala mishlosha letoch shlosha. We're talking about the part that it went up over three and then comes back down into three. Rabba amar mutar l'shtemesh b'ayim. Rabba says it's mutar to use that area. Rav Sheshat amar asur l'shtemesh b'ayim. Rav Sheshat said it's asur to use it. Rabba amar mutar l'shtemesh b'ayim. Dechol pachot megimal de'arahi. Anything that's within three of the ground is considered ground. And therefore it's not considered tree. Therefore you have no problem. Rav Sheshat amar asur l'shtemesh b'ayim. Dekevan dimikowah isur ka'ateh. Asurim, since it is coming from a root that is asur, which means that root actually begins above three, right? Because the root goes up and now this comes down. But since the beginning of that root that now was within three starts above three, that's considered ba'im mikowah isur. And therefore, not only the above three part is asur, but the below three part also is asur. And you ask, oh, there is a picture which is acceptable, whoever has that. Just again, so you have a little better understanding. I'm going to show it to you over here. Again, basically you have a root that projects up, right? And then, you know, comes back down after it hits the 3 point. So the Rav Sheshat Sevara is, since it's coming from Isur, which means point bet, which is above three, right? That's the starting point of this root that's now going down. So therefore he says it comes mikoah Isur, it remains Isur. Now the Gemara is going to give, like I said, different examples where this mahloket would come out. The next case is Dedamu kimshunita. If you have a tree that its root is domeh kimshunita, what is mishunita? So that she says in the third line, kishen sela kehar ze shemishupa letzadim. Which means, let's say you have like a mountain, the mountain which is on a slope, right? So you have the root that is sloping an upward motion, right, from the bottom of the tree, it slopes up, and it has like teeth, also protrusions of the root, that are protruding out of its side in a downward position. So again, you have a root, I'm going to picture it like going up, right, and then you have teeth that are coming down in a slanted motion downward. Again, we have a picture of that in the colored books. That would be 353 on the left side. That would be Kimshunita, where the root goes up and then you have those pieces that go down. The art scroll also has a picture as well. There's a picture on the side of the Gemara, which is a little fuzzy, but this is the picture that we have over here. Okay, just so you get a clarity of it. So now the Gemara says, if it is made kimshunita, the tree, desalkin le'ela asurin. So the part that's above three, everybody holds asur. The nahtin le'tata'e sharu. And the area that is below three is mutar. Le'tstadin plukta de'rabba ve'rab sheshat. Which means, imagine one of those teeth, right, that are protruding down. They start above three, and they protrude down within three. So that's going to be the same mahlok between Rabba and Rav Sheshat. All right, so therefore Rabba is going to say, bottom line, it ends within three, you can use it. It's considered the ground. Rav Sheshat is going to say, yeah, but it started the isur, it's coming mikolah isur, and therefore it is asur, is considered tree, even though it is within three of the ground. Next case where they argue, vechen anigra. Okay, what is the case of anigra? So that she tells us it's a tree that is in the middle of in a ditch, in a haritz, a ditch of water. Okay. And that water that she says is used, let's say it's like a furrow of water that used to, let's say, irrigate the field. And you happen to have a tree that its two sides, the tree, Gemara is going to tell us, has four sides. That's the way we look at a tree. Two of the sides of the tree are, you know, banked in this haritz. You know, it's a wide trunk, so it goes across. And one of the sides of the tree actually protrudes over the embankment of the haritz. If you look in your picture books, you see that's 354. They're showing you on the right side of the picture, it's not such a good picture, but that is the tree actually protruding. The art scroll has a better picture of that. If you look on the bottom of the art scroll, here's the picture, it's the tree in the embankment, in the haritz, right, water. And on one of the sides, the tree actually, you know, protrudes over to the land. So in this case, again, Rava is going to tell you that if you measure from the tree, from the leaves, let's say, from the branches, you measure three tefachim from the ground. And therefore, if you have whatever is within three tefachim of the ground, is considered ground, and therefore you're able to be mishtamesh with that part. It's not considered tree. Hiddush of Rava is that you're able to measure from the ground, where according to Rav Sheshat, you measure from the haritz. And therefore, since the haritz is obviously deeper, so now you're not going to have within three tefachim, and therefore it's going to be asur. Because since bottom line, the tree starts in the haritz, so therefore it's mikoach isur, which is you have to look at where they emanate. Since they emanate in the haritz itself, so therefore he is ma'amid as well in that case. So that's another case we have a machloket Rava and Rav Sheshat, when you have it in the haritz itself. We will look at Rashi, Vechen and Nigra, we read that inside together. Ilan, Ayotze mitoch haritz, katzer, narrow haritz. Ha'asui le'olich ha'mayim le'sadot. It's used to irrigate the field, this haritz. and the two sides of the tree, shel tzad gedudei haritz, is at the sides of the haritz, right? And they go over the embankment, which means the tree itself protrudes onto the land itself. That's Rava's logic, why you can count from the ground. Right? If it didn't go over the ground, then there's no question you're going to count from the haritz. That's where the ground is. The hadush is this, since the tree overlaps onto the ground itself that's next to it, so you can count ground as the floor. The imbalim dod mitzadin shebetoch hanagar hareu gavoa gima. Now, if you're going to count from the floor of the haritz itself, then for sure the branches are going to be above gima veyoter. The imbalim dod mitzadab hashnayim shem gidudei haritz ulmala en gavoa gima l'raba. The modera mod, the bed changes is just too. מודד הגידודים שהדרכות פעול מגימה לרעה קרה לנפששת מעומקו מודד ולגבוה מגימה למקוח איסור העתו. Go to the same mahalok. He's judging it from where it starts, מקוח איסור, and then puts on the bottom of the hadith. Next case, וכן בקרן זווית. That's a case, we don't have a picture of it here, but we have it in the article as a picture. Basically, you have two walls, right? The two walls form a corner, and you have a tree that is in the corner. So basically, the way that she explains it is, three of the sides of the tree are covered by wool. Only the outer side of the tree is exposed. The tree is flush in the corner there, so that is closed, and then the two sides of the walls also cover the sides of the tree, right? And what happens, the tree protrudes upward above the wall, within three tefachim of the wall. So Rava is going to tell you that area you measure from the wall. And since the ledge, you know, the ledge of the wall there, it was within three of the wall, that part that protrudes above the wall, so therefore it's considered wall. Once it's considered wall, it's not considered tree, and therefore you can use that area that protrudes above. Rav Sheshat is going to tell you, no. Where's the tree start? The tree starts from the ground. And therefore you have to judge from the ground itself. And therefore you don't have the heter of within three. Okay, so that's the case of the tree. Now that she just points out that only in a case like this where the three of the of sides of the tree are covered, they're not exposed, like in this case where they're in the corner, that's when Naba will tell you that you can judge it from the top of the wall. However, if let's say, and therefore it's within three of the top of the wall, it's considered wall, and therefore it's not considered tree. However, Rava would agree that she says that if the wall was just straight against the wall, I mean the tree was just straight against the regular wall, where actually three of the sides of the tree were exposed, right? That's not that you just have one against the wall, then already he agrees that you judge from the ground. It's only because you don't have a tree here. The tree is actually all covered up, so it's not exposed, so he gives you a to measure from the wall itself from on top. You don't have to go from the bottom. So that's the next case. And Hagemara tells a story. Ahud declared there was a certain palm tree, Da'aval Abaye, okay, that Abaye had, Da'aval Salik Be'ipuma. And it seems the tree was growing in his house. And the tree grew from in his house and came out of the roof. You want to see a picture of that? Yeah, the art scroll has that picture. Actually, we have the picture in the books here. The colored books is 355. Right? I don't know if that's exactly Abaye's house. I would look, but the point is, you have a tree that started from the house and comes out of the roof. Now, the top part of the tree that's protruding from the roof is within three tefachim of the roof. So now, Rava, we'll see the opinions now. Atali committed of Yosef. He came to Rabbi Yosef and wanted to know, you know, the part that's coming out of the roof, can I use it? So it says, Vesharale. He said, Mutar. Amar Rav Aha Bar Tachlifa Deshara Lach Keraba Shara Lach. You have to know the heter that he gave you is based on Rava, and he's telling you that since it's within three of the roof, right? So you can measure from the roof itself. Rav Sheshat would tell you Bottom line, it's coming from the house. And since in the house, it's all opened, which means in the house you can see the tree. It's not considered all closed. Rav Sheshat would agree if all, I'd say it was all closed, so then already, of course, you judge from the roof itself. But you might not be able to see it from the roof, but in the house itself, there's a regular tree standing. Rabbah's logic is, bottom line, on top, you don't see any tree that's exposed. All you see is a little protrusion on top, so it was matir. So the Gemara is a pshita. Of course, you have to tell me this is going like Rabbah. Of course, according to Rav Sheshat, but now it's going to be asur. Since the tree emanates from the house, from the floor of the house, you're not within three. So the Gemara says, now, ma'od etem afilo Rav Sheshat, beta keman demali dami. I might have employed a principle that says, maybe you look at a house as if the house is filled. Make believe, imagine if you consider beta keman demali dami, so therefore it's filled with dirt all the way to the top. So technically, there's no tree trunk exposed. It's just totally closed up. All you have is a little tree exposed on top. So for sure you'll judge it from the roof. I can use it within three. And we don't say, and that's why the Gemara had to go out of its way to say, by the way, he's going like Rabbah, not like Rav Sheshat. Tanan. Okay, we have the Mishnah. Right, you have the roots that are protruding off the ground, gimel tefachim, lo yeshiv alehim. You shouldn't sit on them. Hechidame. What is the case? Idelo hadre kipeh. If it just protrudes up and does not curve back down, which means it's just a root that just comes off the ground and it's just three tefachim high, no adrikipi means it doesn't curve back down like it forms an arc. If it doesn't form an arc, pshita. Of course, what's trying to do? If it's more than three off the ground, it's considered tree. It's not considered ground. That's obvious. So he says, El alaf must be afagav de hadrikipi. The hidush is that even if the root does, bend over, and therefore it comes back into the three area, therefore still saying that it's going to be asur. So the Gemara says, lo, le'olam de'lo hadre kipeh. Really, I'll tell you that no, it's staying up. It doesn't go within three at all. It doesn't bend back down. V'akamash ma'alan, afalgav de'tzido ahat shaveh la'aris. Which means it's coming to teach you that let's say the tree is flush with the ground on one side. Okay, which means the ground is elevated, let's say on one side. Here's a tree, right? You have a tree, and the ground is not straight. The ground, let's say, is elevated on one point, okay? And then it's lower on the other sides of the tree. So if you're going to judge from the elevated point of the ground on that one side, it's within three. However, if you judge from the lower parts of the ground that are next to it, it is higher than three. And therefore the Hiddush is, even though one side is within three, you judge it from the other three sides that are away from you. So that's already a Hiddush, which is otherwise there's no... You have a picture of that? No. Okay, the article, you see, Siyud Aleph, I have it, you have probably picture A. No, right, well you just see one of the sides of the tree are within where the ground is elevated, right, and then you see the other sides where the ground is lower, something to that effect. Okay, let's read Rashi in that case, please. Look at Rashi. The hadre kipe. Vashmi'inan de lo yeshev ala kifufin. Maybe the hadush of the Mishnah is, this is the Gemara's question again, or the Gemara's Havamina, where the root goes up and then comes back down, and the hadush of the Mishnah is you can't sit on the kifufin, don't sit on the area that bends over within three. The ala givuhin pshita. If it's on the givuhin, then already it goes without saying, it's above three. So I cut you the hashmein and elu in mishum shemut no anim bilam esegim esaf. Fine. So the Gemara says, now, according to this, the Gemara is bringing it, yes, as a proof to Rav Sheshat. Because let's go again. The only logic why the bend over, which is within three, is going to be Asur, is because it emanates from Isur. So therefore, this is actually a proof to Nafshe Shat and a question on Baba. Which means, what's the case of the Mishnah of the root? You're telling me it's above three. It's just right above three. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. It's obvious. Oh, so it must be means it starts, goes above three, and bends back down. And what's the addition of the Mishnah? That it's Asur. What's Asur? The part that's below three. Oh, proof to Rav Shejat. So the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you the whole thing is above three. Doesn't bend back down. So what's the Hiddush? That's she. The Tzidu Ahad Shevel Aris. Shakarka Gavoa B'Tzidu Ahad. The ground is elevated on one side. Moder Rabba Echad D'Shloshet Tzedadav Gevuhim Min Aris. That Surah Sad HaShevel Aris. The Hiddush is since three sides of the tree are above three, because the ground is lower, even the side that the ground is elevated and it's within three is going to be a sun on that side also to use that tree. Which means the leaves or the branches that are within three of the elevated ground according to that, it's also a sun to use. Why? Because since the majority of the sides are above three, so therefore it's going to be a sun. So that's already a hadush. That you're telling me it's shayach, a case where you have the tree that's partly within three of the ground, and it's still going to be azul because of the other three sides that are not. Comes the, so I have no proof to Rav Sheshat. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanur Banan. Shorshe ilan shegevuhim min ha'aretz gimel tefachim. Okay, you have the roots of the tree that are above the ground three tefachim. Again, when they're above the ground three tefachim, they are considered now a tree. Right, if they're within three tefachim of the ground, they're considered ground, and therefore you can use them on Shabbat. Or sheish halal tachtein gimel tefachim. Or let's say you have a halal, an airspace within three tefachim, which means let's say the ground is hollow, right, in a certain area. So from the tree to the hollowed ground is also three tefachim. You have a picture of that in 356. Actually, you don't have a picture of that. You have Afafishi Sidu Achat Shavel Haris. That's the picture where, let's say, even though one part of the tree is level with the ground, but the other areas are more than three off the ground. So therefore, Hadeze Lo Yeshiv Alehin. You cannot sit on them. I'll show you a picture of this. Yeah, this the Pinch High actually has a nice picture of this, the Halal case, which means you have the ground is protruded in one area. The branch, you know, goes across over that elevated ground, but it forms a halal, right? From the branch to the bottom is now more than three. Okay? So there's a halal of more than three over here. So therefore this branch now is considered tree. Because bottom line, it is three off the ground. Even though from the protruded ground, it is not, but we, as we just learned, even the Rabbah agrees that when all the three sides are above three, so therefore it becomes Asur. Okay? So that's the case. Even though it's Shaveh on one side, doesn't matter. Since it's more than three off the ground, it's going to be considered tree, and therefore it's going to be Asur. Now the Gemara is going to tell us, what's Asur? So the Gemara says, so I read that inside again. Right, Tanur Rabbanan, Shorshe Ilan Shegevuhim Min Ha'aretz Gimel Tefachim. Stam, it's three high. Or Sheyesh Halal Tachtein Gimel Tefachim, meaning it protrudes over an elevated part of the ground and therefore causing a halal of three to the ground. As we saw in the Pirush High, that's actually picture number, page 219 in Pirush High, picture number 38. Afal Pishi Sidu Ahad Shevel Ha'aretz, even though, let's say, on one of the sides, it's Shevel Ha'aretz, the ground is elevated, and therefore it's within three. You don't judge it like that. Oh, now we get to the halakha. Because you're not allowed to climb up on a tree on Shabbat. You can't hang from a tree on Shabbat. Nor can you lean against the tree on Shabbat. You can't even climb a tree on Friday, the Yeshev Sham Kol Hayom Kulo, and sit there the whole Shabbat. They don't even want you sitting in a tree on Shabbat that you climbed earlier. Now, Ehad ilan, this applies to the trees. Ve'ehad kol ha-behema, applies to animals also. Why did the rabbis put a restriction on using animals on Shabbat? Because it either, you might ride the animal, and as you ride the animal, you might need a twig or branch in order to whip the animal, and therefore Gezerah, you might come to pull a tree, branch up, and use it to whip the animal. So therefore, they didn't let you use animals. What does it mean? You can't lean against them, you can't climb on them. Whatever you can't do to the tree, you can't do to the animal. Aval, but, bor shiach umara vegeder, that's a pit, a ditch, a cave, or a fence. Mitapes ve'oleh, you can climb up them. Mitapes ve'yored, and you can climb down them. Vafilu hen me'ama, even if they're 100 amma high, it doesn't matter. Why? Because there's no gezerah. Which means there's no gezerah of pulling off a branch of a fence. That's not considered tonesh. Tonesh is only on something that's alive, like a tree, it's rooted. However, what are you worried about? So you're gonna, the guy's going to climb up the fence. Why? He's going to break part of the fence? There's no gezerah on that. Only on a tree. But tani hada, we have a braita. Im hala mutandirit. One statement says, if the guy climbed up the tree from before Shabbat, we let him come down on Shabbat. Now, even though technically when he's coming down from the tree, he is using the tree, but still, one braita says, you let him come down. Another braita says, no, he climbed up before Shabbat, gotta stay there. So Gemara says, la kasha. What's the answer? Alright, depends. If he climbed up on Friday, where he was technically allowed, so we're not gonna penalize him, we'll let him come down on Shabbat. But if he climbed up on Shabbat when it was definitely Asur, then we penalize the guy and he's got to stay there on Shabbat. That's one reconciliation. I can tell you no. Both cases are talking about where he climbed up on Shabbat. If he climbed up Bishogeg, so I say, okay, Bishogeg, don't penalize the guy, let the guy come down. He did it Bishogeg. Penalize the guy, he's got to stay up there. I can tell you now, both cases are talking about on Shabbat, and both cases are talking about he was shogeg. And the machloket over here between the two brightos is, do you make a gezerah on shogeg atu mezid? Right, one brighton says, yeah, you make a knas that if you're not going to allow shogeg, because they might come to allow mezid. So that's the machloket over here. A guy went up on the tree on Shabbat, mishogeg. One brighton is going to say, he can't come down. Why? Because really, you should be allowed to come down. But if we allow the shogeg guy to come down, it might lead to the mezid guy coming down. We don't want the mezid guy coming down. So he goes there, shogeg atu, mezid. The second brighton says, no. The mezid guy can't come down, but the shogeg guy can. And when I go say shogeg, I have to mezid. Amar Abu Nabda Rabbi Yoshua. Ketana'eh. Well, these two braitot of whether the guy can come down or not, we can actually say that this is these two braitot are following the opinion of the following Tana'im. The Gemara is going to give us the opinions of the Tana'im and then bring it back to how it applies to us. Hani Tanim b'matana achat. Okay, we're talking about korbanot now. Now we know the halakha says, if you bring a korban, there's certain laws of what to do with the blood. Right? Now, a certain blood have to be poured on one corner of the mizbeach, and some on two corners of the mizbeach, and some on all four corners of the mizbeach. So we're discussing that, you slaughter a korban, that is nitanim b'matana achat. That you just have to take the blood, and in one matana, you just pour it on one corner of the mizbeah, and you fulfill. What's an example of that? So that she tells us, kegon dam ha-bechor. Okay, let's say the dam of a bechor behema, that you have to bring as a korban. Shinit arbu benitanin matana achat. Or it got mixed up with another animal that also is nitan b'matana achat. So you have no problem. All the blood over here goes to the same spot. So what is the Gemara's answer to do? Yinatnu b'matana achat. Right, so just pour it on the one part of the mizbeah, because memarashach, all the blood in there belongs in the same spot. Good. Matan dalid, b'matan dalid. Let's say you have, for example, korban hatat. Korban hatat is matan, that's four matanot. Right? So now it got mixed up with blood of a korban hatat. No problem. What should you do? Yinatnu b'matan dalid. Just pour it on the the four parts, which means you have no issue. Now we get to the case. Matan arba b'matan ahat. Let's say I have a korban ahatat that got mixed up with a bechor. What do you mean it got mixed up? The bloods. So now you have in here some four and some one. So now the she'ela is, what do you do? What exactly? What do you do? Do you pour on all four? Or do you just pour on one? So the Gemara says, we have a machloket. Rabbi Eliezer omer yinatnu b'matan dalid. He says, play it safe, do all four. Now we'll see if that's safe or not, but he says, play it all four. Rabbi Yoshua omer yinatnu b'matan ahat. He says, no. Play it safe in that, just do on one matana. So now the Gemara analyzes. What's the logic? Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer tells Rabbi Yoshua, Hare over al bal tigra, which means there's a law in the Torah that says you cannot do less than the obligation. And therefore, in this case over here, where you have matan dalid, and you're only putting it on one, that's bal tigra. You're diminishing from the mitzvah. Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua tells Rabbi Eliezer, Harehu over be bal tosif. You're putting it on all four, you got bal tosif, because you have blood in there of a bechor that's only one. So you're going from one to four, that's bal tosif. So the same claim you have against me, bal tigra, I'll throw it back at you and say, you got bal tosif. So now they open up the logic. Amar Abili Aizir. Abili Aizir said, Lo Amru Ela Kishehu Be'atzmo. Which means, you're coming to me, you're telling me Bal Tosif. Bal Tosif only means if it was alone. Which means, if you had an item that was one, like a Bechor, and you went and poured it on four, that's already Bal Tosif. But in this case over here, it's not Bal Tosif, because there is a four blood in there, and therefore, it's not L'Hatzmo, so I'm okay. So I'm going to be Yeshua, no name Bal Tigra, and the Hatzmo. So the same logic I answered, that helps me. Which means, Bal Tigra was only said, if you have only a four, a Hatat, and you put it on one. That's already Bal Tigra. But when it's mixed, since I have a one in there, so therefore I can put it on one. The odd Amar Rabbi Yoshua. And then Rabbi Yoshua continues to explain his logic. Again, Rabbi Yoshua is the one that you just do Matan Aleph, right? Matan Echad. Rabbi Yoshua says, Keshe natata avarta albat tosif ve'asita ma'ase biyadecha. He says, listen, according to you, when you're doing four, you're doing an action that's going against Bal Tosif. Which means, listen, the logic, how could the rabbi, by the way, matir Bal Tosif, by the way, how could it be the Ezer tell you do four? What about the Bal Tosif issue? So one will tell you it's not Bal Tosif because, first of all, there is, bottom line, a hatat in there. And anyway, we have a rule that'll say, the mitzvat aseh of putting the blood will be doheh, the lo ta'aseh of Bal Tosif. We have a rule, aseh doheh, lo ta'aseh. So Rabbi Yoshua comes along and says, listen, your way of putting the four, you're doing an action. Which means you're doing an action of pouring four, that's already too much for me. Kishelona tata. But according to me, where I'm only putting one, avarta al bal tikra velo asita ma'ase biyadecha. Which means, at least according to me, I'm putting one, how am I over al bal tigra? Passively. So therefore, if you have an option to be over, which is either way, you have the bal tosif problem, I got the bal tigra problem. I'd rather put one, and therefore you tell me it's bal tigra, but it's bal tigra without doing a ma'aseh. Which means, I didn't actively, how are you over al bal tigra? By an inaction. Right, you were supposed to put four, I only put one. So he went in action. He says, I'd rather, you know, be passive and over al bal tikra than to be active and have a problem of bal tosif. Now, let's just analyze one quick point before we bring it around. You have to say that everybody agrees, or at least Rabbi Yoshua agrees, that even on a korban hatat, if you did one matana, you yotzeh. That's clear. Because how is he leaving any of the problem? You have matan ahad and matan dalid. The hiddush is, and that's the deen by the way, b'di'avad, if you did a matan dalid, you did only one matana, you would say, here the Biyoshua will say it's like a tahida. Because here you have no options. You cannot do matan dalid because you can have a problem of baltosif. Baltosif biyadayim. I'm going to have baltigra. First of all, it's a passive baltigra, therefore, no problem. So that's the basic machlok between the Bidiyahiz and the Biyoshua by korbanot that their bloods got mixed in. Okay, now the Gemara is going to bring back to the case of the tree. The Kanzi Gemara says, okay, we're 4 lines from the bottom. The Rabbi Eliezer de Amar Hatam Kum Va'ase Adif. According to the Bidi Ezer that said by the Korbanot, he wasn't concerned about actively being over al Bal Tosif, because he told you what, put 4, right? Even though you're doing Bal Tosif Biyadayim, first of all, just remember it's really not Bal Tosif, because you have the Aser, that's the Hedalot Aser, but he didn't care. Even though it's still an action, it's okay. Hachinameh Yered. So he's probably the opinion that says, on Shabbat, go down from the tree. What's that got to do with going down from the tree? Rashi. 3 lines on the bottom. Hachinam yurid. Da'ach yiridam mitzvahi. Going down from the tree on Shabbat is a mitzvah. Why? That kozeman chu yoshev. Because so long as he's up there on the tree, mishtamish, he's considered using the tree. And therefore, it's like he's involved in an isur every second that he's sitting on the tree. So therefore, it's a mitzvah to get off. That is a tashmish. Hilkach, apagab, that's the mishtamish, tashmish, aher, kishiyored. Even though, by the way, when he's going down, he is using the tree. But you know what? Yoter v'yoter adif kishiyeshevsha. It's better than him sitting there. When the guy's just sitting there, so he has much more prone to start, you know, pulling branches off. Here, at least when he's going down, he's involved in going down. His mind is not on breaking any branches. He's involved in something. So therefore, just like Rabbi the Ezer was the one that said, put 4 matanot. Why? Even though by doing the 4 matanot, you're doing an action which looks like an isur. So the same thing over here will say. That what? Go down from the tree. Even though what? It's a mitzvah to go down from the tree. Just like it's a mitzvah to pour the blood. But even though by pouring the more blood you're involved in, an active of Baltosi. So the same thing over here, even though I'm going down from the tree, technically I'm using the tree, doesn't matter. Go down from the tree. Why? Because you're better off at the end. So we'll say, he holds, go down from the tree. And what's the other rabbi? The Rabbi Eliezer. I'm reading 4 lines from the bottom. The Rabbi Yoshua, Daman Hatam Shebal Ta'asa Adif. Rabbi Yoshua said, play it safe. Only pour 1 matan damim. Don't get involved, better to be passive. Hachanama lo yirid. Don't go down, stay up there. Even though you really shouldn't have been up there and you're running into, you know what, but at least you're passive. You're not going down, doing an action, going down from the tree. So comes the Gemara and says, who told you? Dilma lohi. Maybe this machloket has nothing to do with the case of the tree. Why? Ad kan lo kamar bi lezer hatam kum ase adif. I'll tell you, know why the Bili Ezer said, you put 4 matan damim over there, do an action? Ela de ka'avid mitzvah. Because bottom line, you're doing a mitzvah by pouring the 4, there's korban hatat blood in there, you're doing a mitzvah. Aval hacha de lo avid mitzvah, hacha nami lo yered. But here, going down from the tree, the Gemara is falling off its original thing. Well, what's the mitzvah of going down from the tree? Going down from the tree is also using the tree, which means, maybe he'll tell you, I only allowed you to go do 4 matan damim because you're involved in a mitzvah. But going down from the tree, there's no mitzvah. That she says, look, kavid mitzvah, poresh min avera hu ayedei avera. Aval kiyum mitzvah enkan. Yeah, by going down from the tree, you might stop yourself from doing a sin. But it's not a mitzvah. Where's a mitzvah to go down from a tree on Shabbat? The inameh, and now I'll go to the other side. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yoshua hatam sheb ve'al ta'ase adif. When did Rabbi Yoshua say sheb ve'al ta'ase adif? By the case of the korban, ela de lo ka'avid isura, because by bringing 1 matan damim, I'm not making an isur. Is there any isur? No, no isur. However, aval hacha de kavid isura hacha named the yirid. Here, every second that I'm on the tree, I'm making an isur. So maybe the Yeshua will say, in this case, do a maaseh, get down. So therefore, the mahlokah of the heads of the Yeshua by the matan damin cannot be interpreted to explain the tumulaitot by the trees. Comes Gemara and says, Tani Hada. Oh. Now we discuss what type of trees are we talking about. This thing that we said, you can't use a tree on Shabbat and all this, what type of trees? Tani Hada, we have one statement. Echad ilan lach, ve'echad ilan yavesh. Whether it's a literally a moist tree, which is another way of saying the tree is alive, or it is a dry tree, which is another way of saying it is dead. Doesn't matter what type of tree it is. If it's lach or yavesh, asur. If it's lach, as she says, it's not considered mehubar. There's no roots anymore. The roots dried up. It's yavesh, I'm sorry. It's considered not mehubar. And therefore, lakaura, there shouldn't be a problem. Because even if you're tolesh, big deal. There's no problem of being tolesh something that is dead. It's only when you tolesh something that is alive. But the first braita is telling you it doesn't matter. Vetanya Ida, we have another braita that says, Bamid Devari Mamurim Belach. Someone would say, no, the only isur of using the tree is talking about where it is alive. Moist. Avad B'yavesh Mutar. That's how do you reconcile the two braita? Amar Rav Yehuda Lakashya. Kan B'shigizo Machlif. The case where it's asur is talking about where the gears of the trunk regenerates. Meaning, if the trunk regenerates, even though it's dry now, but if it regenerates itself, it comes back to life, so it's going to be asur. Kamish engiz on mahlif. But if the trunk does not regenerate, so it's dead. It's dead permanently, so therefore there'll be no problem to use the tree. So the Gemara says, gizom mahlif yavesh karitle? You can't call gizom mahlif yavesh. Yavesh means the tree's dead. It's not dead. It's just, it didn't regenerate yet. So you can't answer like that. Yavesh is mash yavesh. If you tell me gizom mahlif, that's not considered yavesh. Right? So Kazi Gemaran says, like this. So again, let's just review how the Gemara wanted to answer the braitot. You have two braitot. One braita says, Lachan yavesh asur. One says, yavesh mutar. Okay, so we're trying to reconcile. So the Gemara says, oh, I'll give you the answer. What's the answer? It depends if gizom mahlif or not. Right? If the gizom is mahlif, so therefore what? It's coming back. So it's a type of yavesh that what? Gizom mahlif. That it comes back. So the Gemara asks, you don't call that gizom mahlif. You can never call yavesh. That's considered lach. That's considered alive. So therefore, it doesn't answer the question. Ela lakashya. Kam bimot ha-hama, kam bimot ha-geshamim. Oh, the difference is the summer or the winter. What's the item? Second line in Nashi. All the way on top. Bimot ha-hama, yavesh mutar. The tree is actually dead. Mutar. Why? Teleka afilu mishum marit ayin. There's not even a marit ayin on this case. Why? Sharin nikar lakol shu yavesh. Everybody sees that the tree is dead. She'enu motzi alim. In the summer, you can tell if a tree is really dead or not. In the winter, you can't tell because no tree has leaves on it. So therefore, when you see a guy climbing up a dry tree on Shabbat in the winter, you're going to come along and say, "Ah, oh, look at that, he's climbing up a live tree," and then you're going to climb up a live tree as well. So therefore, in the winter, a dry tree is asur. In the summer, mutar. Yeah? In the summer, it's obvious that it's dead. All the other trees have fruit on it, they have leaves, etc. So therefore, summer, mutar, because there's no marit ayin. Winter, asur. So the Gemara says, bimot ha-hama, what do you mean? Even in the summer is a problem. Ha-natre pire. Bottom line, when you climb up the tree, what's going on? There's fruit on the tree. Where's there fruit on the tree? From before it died. Right before the tree died, it was giving fruit. So what are we worried about? Rashi, kanatre pere shinisharu bo mishana sha'avra ve'atal mishrebe tilisha delah. Which means now, people can come along and say, oh, look at that. You're allowed to pull off fruit from a tree. They're not going to realize that it's dead because they're going to see fruit on it. So they'll say, oh, the fruit on it. So then what's going to happen? The guy's going to go now to a live tree and pull off fruit. So why don't you make a gezerah like that? Tilisha to Tilisha. The Gemara says Bidene Kaperi. Okay, we're talking about it's in the summer. It's dry and there's no fruit. Therefore, there's no possible gizera. The Gemara says fine. Ve'ha kanatri kinse. Okay, you might not pull off fruit, but what about kinse branches? Which means if you allow a guy to climb up the tree in the winter, the guy's going to say, oh, and branches are coming off as he's climbing up. So, oh, you're allowed to pull up branches of a tree. He'll go on a lach tree and he'll start pulling up branches. Give it our answers. Bigiduda. It's only a trunk. And so we narrowed the case down. It's a dead tree.
Branchless,
fruitless in the summer. That case, mutar to climb on Shabbat. Gemara says, Edi, what do you mean we have a contradiction? That's a problem. Rav ikla le'afstiya. Rav came to a certain place, Afstiya, ve'asar bigiduda. And he was osir in the summer, a trunk that was dead. So Gemara says, Rav bikam matzah bikadar bagedir. Which literally means, Rav found a valley and he put a fence up. Which means, really it's mutar. But the place that he went to, Rav, he saw they weren't Bnei Torah. They weren't religious people, so to speak. And he was concerned. If he's going to allow this, they'll go climb up regular trees and they're going to have a problem. Which means, in that area, Rav had to fence. The way the rabbis say this is, he found the valley. A valley is an unprotected area. Right? Mm-hmm. So how do you protect the valley? Bikamatzah, the gadar bagedir. You put a fence around it. So therefore that's a way of saying that this was a special humrah for that specific place, because Rav knew that even if you matir a bare trunk in the summer that's dead, still these guys are going to come and make Isur somehow. So therefore, you know, don't bring a proof from that story. Comes Gemara and continues. Now we discuss the subject of walking on grass on Shabbat. Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Ase, Asur Adam Shelech Al Gabi Asamim B'Shabbat. Okay, person's not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbat. Mishum Shnei Emar, quotes a Pasuk. This Pasuk is in, it's got to be Mishle. Ve'atz beraglayim chote. Person literally is impetuous with his feet. He's making a sin. How could you make a sin with your feet on Shabbat? Walking on grass. Because what's going to happen? Your feet are going to pull up the grass. It's tolesh. Tani hada mutad lecha gabei asim b'Shabbat. One brayta says mutad to go on grass on Shabbat. V'tanya idach asur. And one says it's asur. Lakasha habelachim habib yeshim. Very good. When the grass is alive, then it's going to be asur because it's considered tilisha. When it's dry grass, no problem. It's dead. Then mutar. V'baytema habelachim. And I know both brayta are talking about where the grass is alive. V'lakasha. Kam bimot tachama, kam bimot tegeshamim. In the summer it's asur, and in the winter it's mutar. At this point the Gemara is falling off the issue of pulling off the grass. It's discussing that on top of the grass, in the summer, there's like little seeds on top of the grass. And the concern is that you might pull those seeds off while walking. So therefore, bimot tachama asur, why? Because it has the seeds on top of the grass. Therefore it's going to be asur. Bimot tegeshamim, where there's no seeds on top of the grass, mutar. So you have a case, even where it's alive, the issue is the seeds. Even in the summer, where there is the seeds and it's alive. Both b'raitot. One case is talking about where he's wearing shoes, one case is talking about where he's not wearing shoes. When he's wearing shoes, you're not worried. Because his feet will not get entangled in the grass. However, if he's not wearing shoes, where his toes are going to get entangled in the grass, and what? It's going to rip them out. I can tell you what, both cases are talking about where he's wearing shoes. Depends if the shoes have spikes or not. If the shoes have spikes, so the spikes are going to pull out the grass. If there's no spikes, mutar. Like I tell you, we're talking about the summer, live grass, shoes with spikes. Had eat the sharcha, had let the sharcha. It depends if it's long grass or not. If it's long grass, sharcha is the long weeds, like all the long grass, not the weeds, the grass, then you're concerned a lot, it'll be uprooted. If it's not so tall, the grass, it's going to be mutal. You're not concerned that the spikes are going to pull it out. And Gemara concludes on this one and says, "Va'idana de kamenan kere bishimon kolehu share." But now that we follow the bishimon, that we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that davar she'en mitkaven mutar, so all this is permissible. Well, v'chi when the guy's walking, he has intention to rip up grass? Of course not. That's considered davar she'en mitkaven, and it's not an automatic. It's not a psik reshe. It's not definitely going to happen. So now that we all think the bishimon, you could always walk on Shabbat in grass, live grass, even without shoes, even with spikes and long grass. It doesn't matter because davar she'en mitkaven. Now the Gemara goes off on some agadata. Because since we quoted a pasuk from Mishneh, Atz Miraglayim, so the Gemara now is going to go off a little on this subject. V'amar Rami Bar Chama Amar Rav Aseh. Asur le'adam shiyachuf ishto ledvar mitzvah. A person is not allowed to force his wife into relations. Which means before he has the bi'ah, he has to be mefayis. He has to have it willingly. He cannot do it against her will. And where did they learn this from? Shne'emar ve'atz beraglayim chote. They refer to the tashmish as raglayim because that's the area where the tashmish ben ragleha. So therefore, they say atz beraglayim chote. It's possible that you can make a sin b'makom raglayim. How? By forcing the lady in tashmish against her will. And therefore, the Gemara says it's considered sinful. Anybody that forces his wife ledvar mitzvah for this tashmish, havyan lo banim she'ena mehuganim. But may not cause them to have children that are not proper, not good. Amar Rav Ika Bar Hinina Neikra. But where do we know this from? The pasuk says, "Gam belo da'at." When a person has tesh, that's the end of this pasuk. Actually, it's not the end of the pasuk; it's the beginning of the pasuk. Gam belo da'at. When a person has tashmish without consent, nefesh lo tov. It's going to bring a dead soul into the world. Tanya Nami Achavim Blight, the support is Gam Belodat, Nefesh Lotov. That person has tashmish without consent, it brings Nefesh Lotov. Zeh Kofe Ishto, Ledvar Mitzvah. This is one that forces his wife for tashmish against her will. The Atz Beraglaim Chote, what does the end of the Pasuk mean? That a guy makes a sin, Beraglaim, meaning between Nagleha, it's a sinful. Zeh Bo'el Veshoneh. That's talking about where he does it twice. He does it again. Because he had the first tashmish against the will. And then what? He does it a second time. That's already atzmet aglayim chote. He's doing it again. Bo'il v'shoneh. It's not enough if you did the sin once against the will. He went, bo'il v'shoneh, he did it twice. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ini v'ama rabah arosei la'asot kol banat zecharim yibod v'yishneh. The Gemara says, if a person wants to have boys, the Gemara gives a sigula. How to have boys? Not a sigula. But a person should have bi'ah twice in a row. How? What's the logic? Because the Gemara says in a different place, Isha Mazra'a Tehila, if the Isha is Mazri'a first, so therefore the children become Zecharim. So how do you get the lady to be Mazri'a first? So that if a person has Tashmish once, and now the lady becomes aroused to be Mazri'a, so you have Tashmish again, and now she is Mazri'a. And therefore, that's considered first. Which means it's considered first that she's Mazia. Now the Zera will be Kolet. So therefore, you can have a boy. So how you tell me over here that if you're Bo'el Veshoneh, it's not a good thing? Adrabah, the Gemara says, if you want your boys to, if you want to have boys, be Bo'el Veshoneh, have consecutive Bi'ah. Gemara says, obvious answer. Like Kashia, Kan Ledat, Kan Shelo Ledat. Of course, Bo'el Veshoneh is good when it's consensual. However, if it's not consensual, then already it's atz v'raglayim chote. Then already it's bad. Amar Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol isha shetobat ba'ala ledvar mitzvah, any lady that solicits the husband verbally for tashmish, havyan labanim, they will have children, she'afilu bedoro shel Moshe lo hayu kemotan. That even in the generation of Moshe, there was not such great children. So the Gemara is according to this, at this point, saying it's a good thing. Meaning if the lady is tovei al-bapeh, so she'll have children that are greater than the generation of the Midbar. How? Deilu bedorosh shel Moshe, kiti, by the generation of Moshe, what does it say? Havu lachem anashim chachamim unbonim v'idu'im l'shiftechem. Like God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go appoint anashim chachamim unbonim. Get the chachamim, and the higher level is Nevunim, and appoint them as judges. Uchtiv, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Says, Vayekach et rashesh shiftechem anashim hachamim viduim. is I was able to find anashim hakamim viduim v'ilu nivonim lo eskach. But he wasn't able to find people on the level of nivonim. So you didn't have nivonim in the midbar. V'ilu gabe le'ah. But if you remember by le'ah imenu, she was toveya Yaakov bepeh. How do we know? You remember when she sold the dudaim to Rachel, right? So Rachel gave over Yaakov for the night. And what happened when Yaakov came back from the field? It says, "Vatetze le'ah liknato." She came to greet Yaakov. "Vatomer elai, tavo elai tavo." You will come to me tonight. Kisachos sekatika. So she was toveya Yaakov bepeh. And who came out of that child? Who was the child that conceived? Yisachar. And what does it say about Yisachar? Uchtiv ubnei Yisachar. Yodei bina la'itib. They have bina. But you couldn't even find bina in Dor HaMidbar. And here, because she was toveya bepeh, you see already, they had a child that you didn't even find in the Dor HaMidbar. And it just says, Nadat ma yase Yisrael, says their bina was used so the Jewish people could know what to do. Rasheim, Matayim, there was 200 heads. So that they had the leaders, and all their brothers followed their words. So comes the Gemara and says, so that, from this Gemara it sounds like what? It's a positive thing. Ini, we have a contradiction. Ve'amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Eser kelalot netkalela Hava. Hava was cursed after she ate from the tree. 10 curses. Dichtiv. El ha'isha amar. Right? God said to the lady, harba arbe esibonech. So the Gemara explains the whole pasuk. What are the curses? So the Gemara says, "Elisha amar harba arbe elu shne tipe damim." This is referring to the curse that the lady is going to have two forms of blood: echad dam nida, echad dam betulim. She's going to have the blood of nida and also the blood of betulim, which is the virginity. Also, there's going to be blood there. It's a curse. Etsibonech. Your etzabon, your suffering, ze tzar gidul banim. You're going to have to bear the struggle of raising children. Ze heronech, your pregnancies, ze tzar aibur. You're going to have hard pregnancies. A lady's pregnancy is considered sick. Be etzev til di banim, you're going to give birth in pain. Kemashma'o. Now you don't need a derash, that's obvious. Ve el ishech teshukatech. And your desire is going to be to your husband. Ve'el ishech, to your husband, to shukatech, is going to be your desire. Milamed, sha'isha mishtokeket le'ba'la b'sha'a shiyotze l'derech. That when a man goes away on a trip, the lady has a desire for him. That's going to be the derech. Mitashi says, mit'aveh le'tashmish. That's what Halakha says, that before a person goes away on the derech, he has to be poked his wife. Because before the husband goes away, the lady is mitaveh. Vehu yimshol bach. But the end of the pasuk says, and he will rule over you. Meaning, melamed sha'isha tovad balev. Yeah, you are going to solicit him in your heart. Which means, you're not going to, even though you have a tava, you're not going to be able to verbalize it. However, va'ish tobeya bepeh. But the man is rules over you, meaning he could be tobeya. He can actually solicit. So what do you see from this over here? One of the curses was that she is not supposed to say anything. She's going to have a tava, but she has to keep quiet. And the Gemara says, zuhi midat tova benashim. Yes, and this is the proper behavior for nashim. So the Gemara's answer, ki ka'amrenan, which means, when are we saying that it's okay? That's only talking as she says, which means she's able to give signals. Which means if she shows certain indirect signals without verbalizing it, then already it is permissible, and then already it is laudable. However, to be tovea actually bepeh, that already is a problem. So the Maharsha asks on this point where the Gemara is telling us that a lady should not solicit the husband verbally. And the question then is, what about Le'ah? Seemingly, the original question the Gemara was from Le'ah, that she told Yaakov Abinu, Elai Tavo, that you are going to come into my tent. So the Mefarshim, the Maharsha says that that's not considered soliciting a husband by just saying Elai Tavo. She was just saying to Yaakov Avinu, tonight you come to my tent. So that's already, it's not so explicit. The Turat Haim explains it a little differently. He says that she was Neshem Shamayim, which means here it was in order to Lakim Shebatim, in order to create tribes. So if it's not considered an immodest or something that's wrong, on the contrary, this is considered like doing a mitzvah. And therefore, she had to be explicit, because to create the Shevatim, you have to know where the Ben of Yaakov is supposed to be. Since she gave the Dudaim to Rachel, so therefore she has to tell Yaakov, tonight we're going to create the Shevet, it comes from this oil. So therefore it's not considered something that is not proper. So that would be the exception, because she's creating Shevatim. As a matter of fact, the Gaon Yaakov writes that even by Yaakov Avinu, we saw that when he worked for 7 years for Rachel, he tells Lavan, Hava et ishti ve'avo eleha. Give me my wife, ve'avo eleha. Now that's not obviously the most modest of Lishonot. So the Mefarshim went over there, again, Ha'amit Shevatim. It's like saying, pass me the tefillin. Which means that to them, doing this act was considered a total Lashem Shamayim in order to, you know, bring the tzaddikim into the world. So therefore, Le'ah, by telling Yaakov, Elai Tavo, is the exception. Now, we learned in the Gemara did say, in the name of Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Avdimi, that there were 10 curses that Chava was cursed at the time when she ate from the tree. So the Gemara listed some of them, but if you count them up, there are only 7. So we're short 3 kelalot. So the Gemara continues, Hane Sheva Havyan. These kelalot over here are only 7. What are the other 3? Ki ata Avdimi Amar. When Avdimi came along and came from Eretz Yisrael, he gave the last 3. Number 8, Atufa Ke'avel. She's a lady is going to be covered like a mourner, which means the lady has to cover her hair. And it's going to be a shameful thing for a lady to go into the marketplace with her hair uncovered. So therefore, that was one of the kelalot, that a lady has to cover her hair, there's going to be busha. Atufa ke'aver, she cannot go out with her hair uncovered. Umnuda mikol adam. And she's going to be like banned or excommunicated or pushed away from all people. The Gemara will explain what that means. Number 10, V'chavusha bebet ha'asurin. And she's going to be locked up in prison. What does that mean? That she cannot go into the streets like the man does. That she says, kol kivuda bet melech penima. It's the way of a lady to be modest. Therefore, she's going to have to be, you know, locked up, so to speak, in the house. She's not going to have the ability to roam the streets, be a lack of modesty. So comes the Gemara and asks, "My menuda mikol adam." What does it mean that she's going to be menuda? She's going to be like abstained from or removed from bnei adam. So Gemara says, "Ilema mishum da'asid la yichud." If it means that the laws of yichud are on her, that why she cannot seclude herself with a man. And therefore she's going to be menudeh. You know, she wants to be alone with the man in the room. The man runs away. So she's menudeh. The Gemara says, "Ihu nameh asid leYehud." Well, for that matter, the man is just as isud in Yehud than her. So therefore, there's isud both ways. So why would that be a specific curse to the ladies? So the Gemara says, "Ela deasida lebetre." The Hiddush is that a lady cannot be married to 2 men. Whereas a man can be married to 2 or more than 1 lady. And therefore she's menudeh. Once she's married to 1 person, everybody else keeps away from her. That's one of the kelalot. Whereas a man, he can marry much more. Of course, that's the din of the Torah. Of course, the Hachamim came in with the Haramim later on, Avraham Avinu Gershom, and a man also, based on the Haram, cannot marry more than 1 wife. The whole question is, did the Sefaradim accept the Haramim of Rabbeinu Gershom or not? And was there an expiration date given to the Haram of Rabbeinu Gershom? That is another subject, but we are bound to, living in America, Dina de Malchuta Dina. That's another law that says the law of the land is the law, and since bigamy is forbidden in the country, so therefore that's as well a problem. Kamz Gemaran says three more kelalot that Hava received more than any other lady. B'matnitata and the Braita says megadelet se'ar kelilit. People shouldn't even say that word. That's the name of a shed, or sheda, a female demon. She's supposed to be the head of the demons. So it says a lady is going to grow hair, long hair, like the demon. So it seems over here the Gemara is demonizing the lady's long hair. That's a curse. V'yoshevet u'mashtenet mayim kebehema. And she's going to sit, and when she's mashtinit mayim, urinate kebehema, like an animal, which means the animals squat when they urinate. So too, a lady has to sit, as opposed to a man, he stands. Furthermore, the naaset kar lebala, and she becomes a pillow to her husband, meaning the derech of tashmish is. And therefore she becomes like a cushion to the husband during Sha'at Tashmish. And therefore he's resting on her. Comes the Gemara and says, V'idach, which means, how come Rav Dimi didn't quote these three? I mean, these are three extra. So what does Rav Dimi do with the extra three of the Braita? V'idach. So Gemara says, Hane Shevahula. These last three are not curses to the lady, the actual berachot for her. Damar Rav Chiya, my dichtiv, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Iyov? Malefenu mibahamot ares, umeopa shamayim yehakemenu. Malefenu means God is the one that teaches us. And where does he teach us from? Mibahamot ares. He teaches us from the animals, ume'ofa shamayim yihakemenu. We could learn wisdom from the birds. Which is, God created these animals in order to teach us. How? Malefenu mibahamot. We learn from the behemot. Zu pereda. This is referring to the pereda, I guess is the donkey or the mule. Female mule. Shekorat umashtenet mayim. That the way the mule urinates, it crouches and urinates. It seems that's a modest way. And therefore, adraba, the lady that has to crouch, that's considered tziniut. That's a proper way. Umeof hashamayim yahakemenu. And from the birds of the sky, we will learn wisdom. Ze tanegol. This is referring to the chicken. Shemefayes veharkach bo'el. That before the chicken has relations with its mate, first it's mefayes, first it appeases his mate, and then already has the bi'ah. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly how does a chicken appease its mate before bi'ah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, il male lo nitna Torah, if we didn't receive Torah from Shamayim, Hayinu lemedin sini'ut me'achatul. We could have learned the laws of modesty from a cat. How? Because the cat is very modest. It doesn't excrete any of its waste in front of people. And it's always covering itself up. Gezel menemala. And we would learn the laws of thievery from a nemala, literally is an ant. The ants, they gather during the whole winter, summer months, in order to store food for the winter, and no ant steals any food of its friend. So you could learn gezel from an ant. They're very honest. V'arayot miyona. And you could learn the laws of immorality, meaning of the opposite meaning decency, from the doves. Because doves are very faithful to their mates. Which means they do not, chas v'shalom, go with another mate. The Derech Eretz, and we've been able to learn Derech Eretz during Tashmish, Metarnegol, Shemefayez, V'Hakach Bo'el. that what? The chicken first appeases its mate and then has bi'ah. Umay mifayesta. What's the pius? What exactly is the appeasement? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, hache ka'amar la. This is what the chicken tells his mate before tashmish. Zavinina lich ziga. I'm going to buy you a coat. Dematu lich ad kar'ich. Such a long coat that it's going to reach your legs. A long, nice coat. After the bi'ah's over, lebatareche amar la, after he finishes, he tells her, lishtimatete lekarbalte da'ut tarnegola. Let the crest of that chicken fall off. Meaning he's cursing himself, so to speak. Eat le velo zabin alich. If he has the money to buy you this coat, and he doesn't buy it for you. Which means, he doesn't buy you the coat after. But he says, what do you want? I don't have the money. He says, let me be cursed that my crest fall off if I'm not buying you the coat and I have the money. He says, I don't have the money. But if I had the money, I'd buy you the coat. So therefore, that's the, he promises her, you know, a gift before the bi'ah. And after the bi'ah is over, he knows he can't fulfill his word. He gives an excuse. He says, no, I should be punished, so to speak, in order that she should believe him that really he wanted to buy her the coat. But what can he do? He doesn't have the wherewithal. Now, that she does say in the Dibura Matisha Mifayes that where do you, what Rashi's bothered is, you know, how do we know this? Which is, you know the siniut of a cat because you see that it does not excrete anything in public. And you know that, you know, all the other animals, how it urinates in a sitting position. How do the rabbis know what the chicken is telling the wife, the mate, before tashmish? So that she says, though, there's a signal. That she says, holech uposhet kenafav. Before the tashmish, the chicken spreads its wings. Vehu pius. And that's the pius. Which means, the Hakamim saw something strange. Why always before the tashmish? He's doing, you know, spreading the wings. So that's already, he's signaling to her that already, Hakamim said already, that he's going to buy him something or something. So that was already a siman. Let's read one more, Rashi, Dibur Matrish Shebachula. Rashi says, Yoshevet u'mashtenet b'tzni'ut. Okay, that's a good thing, the way she's mashtenet, it's a more modest way. V'ena chasera klum b'davar. She doesn't lose her by that. V'ena asit kal le'ba'ala. And the fact that we say that her position is underneath the husband, it's much more easy for the lady. She's just passive where the husband is. It's more work. So therefore, that's also a sheva. So therefore, the Gemara says those things are not considered a kilalah according to Rav Dimi, and therefore, they were not listed. It could be that the se'ar of the lady, either one of two things. Either the sheva, because it's beautiful, and therefore it causes the husband to metavela. And also, the lady has the ability to cut it, which means such an item over here is not like the sheda that has to remain with it. She has the ability to get rid of it, or she has the ability, we said, to cover it. So therefore, it's not such a, it's a, such a kilala. And for the husband, it's able to be megareh. It's also to bring him to love her.